I knew a guy that thought he had the answers. Day after day, he would convince himself that he knew it all. He stopped searching for the truth. He thought he had possessed it. But it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. I knew a dog who found himself a bone and he buried it, he cherished it, and kept it for himself. One day he tried to dig it up, but no, he couldn't find it. So it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. I knew a preacher who preached all false doctrines. Week after week, he lied to the sheep and caused them all to stray. One day he died and stood before his maker. And it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. I knew a woman who was so independent. She had a job, a career, and didn't need a man. Far too late, she thought she'd have some children, but it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. I knew a snake who pretended to be human. He laughed, he smiled, he acted out the part. He had so much money, he thought he'd never lose it. But it turned out bad, man. It turned out bad. It turned out bad, man. Yes, it turned out bad. It turned out bad, man. Yes, it turned out bad. You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host. And I feel privileged to be able to speak to the people of Yahweh. I'm very pleased to be able to be one of the ones doing it. As I was waking up during the night, I began to think of something, and this probably should have been a fireside chat show, but I've already done 7 shows last week. However, it's very important what I was thinking about. The current state of the world is, as you know, full of hybrids. Many of the pure peoples have disappeared on the planet in these end times. I'm going to suggest to you how it happened. It's just, I don't know how these things happen. It's got to be the Father, you know what I mean? But just listen to this. See, you know Ishmael was there, but where is Ishmael today? I'm sure there's some Ishmael left, at least I think. Where is the white Spanish? Well, this curse that was put on Cain to be a vagabond and wanderer, a.k.a. internationalist, not having a country of their own, has caused these Jews to go into all lands to do their so-called business. Now, their women have been used as a weapon against the peoples of the world. You remember when Balak wanted to find out how he could destroy the Israelite people. He was told that if you could get them to race mix, that'll do it. And so these Jewish women, though many of them are very ugly, I think what happens is when they're very young, you can't tell. And they've been used as a lure to lure men to their deaths, both spiritually, physically, and the end of their bloodlines. Because the Jew must race mix in order to survive, then the offspring becomes, in many cases, if they mix with whites, in many cases, these women look like beautiful white women for a period of time. And they're used further to lure all the peoples of the world to race mix with them and spiritually kill themselves and end their bloodlines until the world is full of hybrids. So, how is this accomplished? See, as people of Yahweh, people like myself, I am a fisher of men. And of course, women. Women are included in men. Understand? And my desire is the same as the Father's desire, is to bring them life and bring it more abundantly, to return them to the Father, to help them to understand the world around them so that they can say, oh, it's not worth it. I understand now. I don't want anything to do with it. I want to be with the Father. So as we are fishers of men to bring them life and more abundantly, the Jews are also fishers of men. But it is to spiritually kill them, physically kill them, and to end their bloodlines, to corrupt them utterly. And so these Jews, for instance, when I saw the movie, this movie about, it was one of the German movies about, like the Rothschilds and things like that. I think this one was it's called Jud Sus, which means the sweet Jew. Jud Sus, it means the sweet Jew. Unbelievable movie. And up in the window, there was a Jewish woman, and she was dressed very scantily. And this was a time period where that was, you know, sort of unheard of. And the dad even said to the Jewish woman, put something on or something like that. I can't remember exactly what was said, but they've always been seductresses. They've always been porn stars. They've always been prostitutes. And so even Jews would, I'm sure, prostitute their own daughters and sell their own daughters into slavery and like that, or tell them to go seduce somebody to get some information out of them, or to get close to them, or whatever it might be. These Jewish women have been used as weapons. And once their race mixed with another race, they're even harder to tell that they are Jewesses, many of them. And so you could be tricked into having a Jewish girlfriend because you don't know how to read. You don't know, and the water, you know, to your defense, the waters have been muddied. That's the idea of race mixing, ladies and gentlemen, is to muddy the waters so that you don't know who's who. And if you really think about what I'm saying, this is what took place. You have all of South America. I'm sure there's some white Spanish somewhere that down there. But you see what's coming over the border. You know the irony of it? They're all race mixed with Jews, but I just saw an article about how the Mexicans hate the Jews. I think that's a wonderful backfire. I must say that, you see, Ishmael has disappeared because of these things. You figure, say, in a Muslim country, for instance, which they weren't necessarily Muslim before. This is relatively new. But they want their women to be covered, correct? So if they go to a place secretly, see, if they saw a woman dressed scantily out in society, they'd have to make a show of it for all the rest of society and penalize that woman. But behind closed doors, these loose Jewish women would seduce these men because they don't even get to see women very often. And once you see the power of a woman's body, especially if it's been kept lean, they succumb to it. See, they're fishers of men, these Jewesses. They'll even fish for beasts of the field. They don't care. They have to race mix. So in the privacy of things, things get done that way. And so Ishmael disappears. You have all big hook nose. Even the two fellows I saw in a picture of Iran, the leader from Iran, and there was some religious leader he was with a side profile. Both of them have hook noses. Both of them, I know one of them had the pyramid eyebrows. And so this is how it's done, ladies and gentlemen. It's being done in America. And they are fishers of men to spiritually kill them. You know, you have to think of the other aspect of this too, is when you know that these Jews are demon-filled. They are demons, never mind being demon-filled. And you have sex with them. And there might be some kind of transference of demons. Mightn't there be? Yes. The Father warns us about the woman. Let her not take you with her eyes. Now, he's not warning you against godly women. He's warning you against these fishers of men. They're out fishing for your soul. This isn't a game where you just lose a little bit of money or you lose a possession. You lose your soul in this game. It's for the very life, for your life. And this is the kind of dangerous games that the world offers mankind. They offer men a chance to sell their soul to sing a song to the world. How ridiculous! How ridiculous! And so, Ishmael, where are you today? I know what happened. I'm telling you what happened. I'm not only telling you what has happened over the last several thousand years, but I'm telling you what is happening today. These Jewesses are even more, after they've mixed with Whitey, they're even more hard to discern. Go look at Jewish actresses. Not all of them can you tell are Jews. But believe it, it will come back in the next generation. For instance, I'll tell you, I've been looking at the mob lately. And Meyer Lansky is a Jew, and he looks like a serpent Jew. But not, he looks a little on the white side where you might not know he was a Jew right away. But his son, Meyer Lansky II, who I never heard of before just a couple days ago, you look at him, you say, well, it's pure Jew. See, I've been seeing the evidence of what B.F. Jackson has said. And it's not a, he died and his family died for writing those books. He didn't die for nothing, folks. He died, and he told us important things that were extremely important. Now, I know he was involved in Freemasonry, but those are the ones who killed him. In other words, he found the truth, even though he was involved in Freemasonry, and the father must have been with him and protected him through it so he could find this information, so he could deliver that to the world. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. You see the next generation. Billy Graham's daughter, Billy Graham, you couldn't quite tell. You knew something was wrong with him, right? He had like a long forehead and this and that. And he didn't look, you know, I wasn't sure he was a white man, but I never even questioned it years ago. Because I didn't know to. I didn't know about all the Jewish name changing and all these things until shortly after I started doing my radio shows. I really didn't know about it. And it's kind of strange just to see all this stuff. So when you see Billy Graham's daughter, go look at a picture of Billy Graham's daughter. If that ain't a Jew, I mean, I don't know what is. And so it rings true. What B.F. Jackson said in that book, it's right on the money, folks. But back to these Jewish hookers and so on and so forth. I pulled up a couple of things so that I could explain to you some things here. I had remembered that back in Boston, now this is going to be something that is awesome for you to realize, because you know how I've made the red connections, right? The Reds, the Red Terror, Esau, the Tares, and on it goes, right? But I never ever thought of this. See, I was thinking, and I was saying, back in Boston, I know they had a red light district. But I knew it was called a zone, and I couldn't remember what it was called. I thought it was called the red zone. Well, here's what I found out about it when I looked it up, just to find out what it was. It's called the combat zone. So let me just read a little for you here. The combat zone was the name given in the 1960s to the adult entertainment district in downtown Boston, Massachusetts, centered on Washington Street between Boylston Street and Neyland Street. The area was once a site of many strip clubs, peep shows, X-rated movie theaters, and adult bookstores. It also had a reputation for crime, including prostitution. Now, you know that the mob is involved in that, right? And you know who the mob is, right? We've already explained that they've got Jewish blood, right? And we know the Jews are involved in peep shows and X-rated movie theaters and strip clubs and all these different things, correct? So it said in 1974, in an attempt to contain the spread of adult businesses, the Boston Redevelopment Authority officially designated the Combat Zone as the city's adult entertainment district for a variety of reasons, such as rising property values and the introduction of home video technology. Most of the adult business in the area have since closed, and the Combat Zone moniker has become obsolete. And yes, I was going to mention that today is, this is the area known as Chinatown. And Chinatown also has these mafias called the triads, etc., etc. There's a lot more going on than you know about, ladies and gentlemen. A lot more. So let me just read this about it. A couple of more things. The name Combat Zone was popularized through a series of expose articles on the area written by Gene Cole. Now, we know Cole is a Jew name, in the 60s for the Boston Daily Record. The name had a double meaning. Not only was it the area known for crime and violence, which goes along with prostitution, right, in adult theaters and stuff, but many soldiers and sailors on shore leave from the Charlestown Boston Navy Yard would frequent the many strip clubs and brothels in uniform, giving the streets the appearance of a war zone. Very interesting. I didn't know any of that. But it gets more interesting, because this is going to bring us to a connection. Another red connection. Maybe some of you have already guessed already. I never knew this. The Combat Zone began to form in the early 1960s when city officials raised the West End and former, listen, Red Light District. See, that's what I thought it was called. I'm too young to know that, but somehow I knew it was called the Red Light District down there. Because in many, many cities, the Red Light District is where prostitution is and all this stuff. And it's high crime, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Because it's pure concentrated evil, correct? There's your another red connection. Why is it called the Red Light District? Why wasn't it the green light? Or why wasn't it the purple light district? Or why wasn't it the yellow light? You see what I mean? It's always has to do with evil, always has to do with red and the flame and fire and the children of the flame, the Red Light District. I want to mention this, that something I didn't even really realize at the time, there was a heavy metal club in Saugus called Red Square. I didn't know anything about communism back then. And when you went into this club, there were pictures of men all over the walls. Guess who the men were on the walls? Trotsky, Lenin, and everything else. You know, it was called the Red Square, I think it was called. Yeah. Think about that for a while now. The Red Square. And I don't think most of the people that were going into the club even knew who the men on the walls were. I certainly didn't at the time, but when I recalled it, which the Clintons can never seem to recall anything, you notice that? But I can recall things. And when I recalled it, I remembered and I said, oh my God, those are the people that were on the wall of the club we were in, and we didn't even know what the significance of the club was. We were there to see a metal band or whatever, right? And to hopefully meet some girls or something. But Just a thought. Maybe in your cities, the same types of things were going on. They were getting you comfortable with Jew faces and the color red, etc., etc. Okay, that brings me to this next thing. See, I had heard a long time ago that if you see a red light, that means that's a prostitute. Right? Well, this is from Wikipedia, Red Light District. A red light district or pleasure district is part of an urban area where a concentration of prostitution and sex-oriented businesses such as sex shops, strip clubs, and adult theaters are found. Areas in many big cities around the world have acquired an international reputation as red light districts. Ladies and gentlemen, red light districts. The term red light district originates from the red lights that were used as signs for brothels. Red lights. See? Who was putting the crime forth? And who were many of the prostitutes? Reds. And they put up red lights as a sign. You see, here is mind programming, color programming again being shown to you. You just think, well, that's the color red. That's not, it has no significance. There's no meaning to the color red. It's just red. Wrong. And what happens in the world? I must explain this to you. See, prostitution is, they say it's the oldest profession. But who were most of the people involved in prostitution? Why, it was always the Jews, Jewesses, etc. Right? You know that's right. In pornography, Jews, Jewesses, from what I understand, I mean, they're pretty heavy duty in pornography, and they would do pornography where none of the white women would do that kind of a thing, right? For a while, unless they were trapped into it somehow or forced into it. But after these Jewesses made it look like it was normal, and, you know, they contrived this as a reality, then white women decided they would do it too because it was very lucrative. You could make lots of money, which of course is another reason that attracts the Jews, correct? Not only that, but it's an informational thing. They can get close to people that they couldn't get close to otherwise and find out many things. Just like many, there were prostitutes involved with, what was the tearful fellow there who is, you know, the one. He's a big evangelist. You know who I'm talking about. And he got caught and he was crying and all this stuff. He's the rock and roll fellow's cousin, Jimmy Swaggart, that's his name. And he was working with prostitutes and being with prostitutes, and they were getting information from him. And other Jews that were involved with those same prostitutes were getting information about him through this prostitute. So it's an intelligence thing as well. Just like I'm trying to explain to you that about all this stuff, when you have Jewish media corporations in all the countries of the world, those are intelligence operations. Oh, yeah, they're telling you lies about what's going on in the world and false stories and this. But at the same time, they're gathering all kinds of intelligence that they don't tell you anything about. It's the same thing as China being here. China is lopped up with secret societies called triads. The triads. And there's many, many, many groups of the triads. They're here in America. They were hooked up to the Jew who wants to take away your guns, one of the Jews, You know, the one that looks like she's dead, like a dead corpse, Dianne Feinstein. She had an Asian working in her office for, what, 20 years? They're all embedded in, like, Boston now. They were over by the red light. Why would the Chinese set up by the red light district? Right in the heart of it. Why? Because they're into crime just as much as the mafia and everybody else. It's kind of weird to find that out. I thought of the Chinese as a little more innocent than that. But you see, we're kind of gullible. We don't realize the evil that men do, that beasts of the field do. Oh, man, it is crazy. It really is crazy. Listen to this, too. I'm going to read a little article. But I don't know why. I just decided, let's look up red, the color red. You know, the lady in the red dress, you've seen that too, right? Color programming. It says here, red is the color at the end of the visible spectrum of light. Let me just stop right there. I told you that colors were part of the spectrum, right? That there are different frequencies to color, or wavelengths, it says here. Red is the color at the end of the visible spectrum of light. And we're in the last days, in the end. Next to orange and opposite violet, it has a dominant wavelength of approximately 625 to 740. That's 13 and 11. Nanometers. It is a primary color in the RGB color model and the CMYK color model, and is the complementary color of cyan. Reds range from the brilliant yellow tinge scarlet, the beast wearing scarlet red, and vermilion to bluish red, which is crimson. And vary in shade from the pale red-pink to the dark red-burgundy. Red wine. Red. The red sky at sunset results from Rayleigh scattering, while the red color of the Grand Canyon and other geological features is caused by hematite or red ochre, both forms of iron oxide. Iron oxide also gives the red color to the planet Mars. Mars means war. By the way, sorry. Mars means war. And red is the color of the planet Mars. Listen to this. The red color of blood comes from protein hemoglobin. While ripe strawberries, red apples, and reddish autumn leaves are colored by anthocyanins. Red pigment made from ochre was one of the first colors used in prehistoric art. The ancient Egyptians and Mayans colored their faces red in ceremonies. Roman generals had their bodies colored red to celebrate victories. It was also an important color in China, where it was used to color early pottery and later the gates and walls of palaces. In the Renaissance, the brilliant red costumes for the nobility and wealthy were dyed with kermes and cochineal. The 19th century, 19th, 1 times 9 is 9, brought the introduction of the first synthetic red dyes, which replaced the traditional dyes. Red also became the color of revolution. Hello, Bernie. Soviet Russia adopted a red flag following the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. the Reds, the Bolshevik Jews, the Reds, the Red Terror, later followed by China, Vietnam, and other communist countries. They all use the color red. Hello? Since red is the color of blood, it has been historically associated with sacrifice, danger, and courage. Modern surveys in Europe and the United States show red is also the color most commonly associated with heat, activity, passion, sexuality, anger, love, and joy. In China, India, and many other Asian countries, it is the color of symbolizing happiness and good fortune. When you get angry, you see red, right? Well, I think that's enough on that. You get the point, though. The red light district. And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's just amazing what is going on in the world. Everything is there for you to see. Now, is there any truth to Jews being in pornography? First of all, we know Jews run the pornography, as well as the mafia, who are also Jews. At the New York Jewish Film Festival, the impure, quote-unquote, yes, nice Jewish girls and women were prostitutes in Argentina. Just going to read this kind of quickly. It's just a little proof thing. More timely than ever, think trafficking and violence against women. Think Time's Up. The impure, quote-unquote, New York Jewish Film Festival, January 16th, digs into Argentina's subculture of Jewish prostitutes and pimps in massive immigration from Eastern Europe starting in the 1880s. Argentina's legal prostitution attracted Eastern Europe's Jewish underworld. Oh, the God's chosen people have an underworld. Yeah, and one called the Mafia, too. Oh, no, say it ain't so. They're not God's chosen people. It's just that simple. Argentina's legal prostitution attracted Eastern Europe's Jewish underworld, riding the wave of 100,000 Jewish immigrants. Now, this is South America, mostly male. Impuros was the term created by the respectable Jews of Argentina to distinguish themselves from the similar-looking immigrants in the sex trade. What opens as woman-like documentation, shots of neglected headstones, black-and-white stills of 1880s Buenos Aires, good airs. Soulful music gets interesting as the film's director discovers his own family's connections to the sex trade. Daniel Nagelson's Israel, Argentina 2017 film. See, again, son at the end of the name is often a clue that it's Jews, not just man at the end, but sons. The film in Spanish, Hebrew, and Yiddish with English subtitles truly gets going with the testimony of a former prostitute, now a fighter for women's rights. She's tough, seemingly fearless, and completely relates to the desperate women who end up in Buenos Aires brothels over a century ago. My story is their story. If they were rich, it was only in semen. The grandfatherly Tel Aviv University professor gives a scholarly perspective. The outspoken Argentinian woman tell it like this. The Jewish pimps, listen carefully, please. The Jewish pimps were let off by a men's court, quote-unquote, despite thousands of abuse charges from prostitutes. Today, the judicial system is controlled for the most part by men as well, and we're treated to some memorable moments in documentary inquiry. With the camera rolling close up on his face, the director of Argentina's Jewish Research Institute, the Buenos Aires branch of YIVO, is still trying to protect the public image of the first and second generation immigrants. He tells Nagelson, let these poor people rest in peace. I'm sick of this morbid curiosity and this intellectual masturbation. I don't want to stain the memory of the poor women buried in Avalaneda, the site of the burial site for the impure. All Jews are impure. The women of Buenos Aires, the former prostitute and respectable Jewish women, have the last words, at least, in the impure. One timely insight from a former prostitute. I think the only way to fight, at least from what I've found, is not to hide. Well, I think that that's about it. By the way, it says details. The 27th annual, 2 and 7 is 9, annual New York Jewish Film Festival, a partner of the Jewish Museum and the Film Society of Lincoln Center, runs through January 23rd. with a wide-ranging selection of international films and question and answers with filmmakers. You know, if you research into it, the point is you will find that Jews and Jewesses have always been involved in prostitution. And so, therefore, they've been luring men to their deaths, to their spiritual deaths, and so on. See, there's many ways a prostitute can kill a man. Just by messing with the prostitute, he could be filled with demons. Or just by messing with the prostitute, he risks his soul, because the scriptures tell us that these men, these women that do these things will take you right down to the bowels of hell. Think about that. I also want to point out something to you that I think is, when you talk about impuros, as I was reading Bloodlines of the Illuminati, which means Bloodlines of the Jews, the Onassis family, who is of course, one of the top families. Now listen, wait till you hear this. The Onassis family was one of the top three merchant families in Smyrna. You've heard of Smyrna, haven't you? And Socrates Onassis, until 1922, merchant families, get it? Until 1922, quietly ran a banking operation for money laundering. That's a question. He's not sure if that's what they ran. From their home, which had a large amount of money. Now, that's a Jewish thing to run it from your home. Rothschild used to do that, remember? So this home had a large amount of money left by powerful Turks. Could Socrates' father been part of a secret Illuminati opium connection, which had begun back around 1815 with the Astor family in Smyrna, Turkey? We know for certain that he had a powerful British-Italian and that he had powerful British, Italian, and Turkish friends before he was arrested in 1922, and that these friends saved his life from a death sentence. About 1925 to 26, his son Aristotle Onassis, who was from Smyrna, Turkey, began secretly importing opium into Argentina. We just talked about Argentina, didn't we? Jews' connections with Argentina. See it again? From Turkey. Under the cover and disguise of importing tobacco. Now listen carefully, please. The Grand Orient of Italy by the Jewish Freemason Emmanuel Carras. Now you wouldn't think that was a Jewish name, right? Established two secret lodges in Salonika, Turkey, around the 20th century. Now listen to this very carefully. The dialect of the Jews in that area is often mistakenly called crude Spanish. Are you ready for this? Actually, the language is Latino, a Judeo-Spanish dialect spoken in Constantinople and Smyrna. A Western Ladino is spoken in Salonika, Bosnia, and Serbia. Masonic Jews speaking this Latino language were part of the Masonic plot that started World War I. Latino, a Judeo-Spanish dialect. Now, does that bring any connections to you about the Latinos in South America? Well, it should. I think that is amazing. And I think that perhaps we should go and take a little break here or something and come back in a few. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Saxon's Creed radio show here at davidjamesboston.com. Well, it is amazing what we're finding out, isn't it? Because we're seeing, you know, first I start finding out that the Sicilians are race mixed and that they're a big part of Jewry out all throughout the world. Then you start finding out that there are these Jews have been in every nation, so they've mixed with everybody. So there's half-breed Jews generation after generation after generation after generation in all the countries of the world. They've been doing it to America for a very long time. And so we don't realize the magnitude of how many race-mixed people there really are around us. Because, number one, the waters have been clouded. You've been desensitized to looking at Jews. You've been desensitized to looking at Negroes, etc., etc. Had you never seen these Jews before or Negroes, you would be literally frightened by seeing them. Because they're scary, very scary. But once you're desensitized to you, you're desensitized to it. It no longer has an effect on you because you're used to it. If you're used to looking at the devil every day, you probably wouldn't alert on him either. You see, what has happened with me is I've been studying the attributes, not only the habits of the Jews or the patterns of the Jews, but I've been studying what they look like. And I've found out that there's many more marks of Cain than you might realize. I know the primary mark of Cain, what you would think of, would be the hooked nose. But there's the slanted forehead, the strange ears, the wide mouths, the sad eyes, the pyramid eyebrows, and many, many, many more things. Like I was saying to somebody, a friend of mine, I noticed that women in Hollywood mostly, but then it, of course, monkey see, monkey do. Our women do the same thing now. They were shaving their eyebrows off and penciling them in. I always thought that was the most ugly thing. Like Lucille Ball was big on that. But I realized they were that some of these people that were doing this, the ones that were doing it originally, were hiding something. They were hiding their eyebrows. They were hiding a sign of who they really were. Or so this is my estimation. See, I've looked into these things enough to know what I know. And I continue to look into it. And when I'm investigating if somebody's a Jew or not, I look for these traits. See, it's funny, when you walk into a room, nobody knows what you know, necessarily. They just think you're, you know, they look at you, size you up physically, and if you're not a perfect man or something, they just think, they write you off as, well, he don't know nothing. Or, you know, most of them don't know anything. Or do they? I don't know. When I walk into a room and I'm looking at people, I'm looking for the signs. When I'm investigating an old movie, I'm looking at the actors and investigating the signs. I see the signs everywhere. To the point where, like I was talking to you about The Sopranos, I don't know if there's any white people even in that series, yet you see all kinds of people you think are white, don't you? You thought the Sicilians are all white, didn't you? You don't realize that you've been maneuvered, or we've been maneuvered, into thinking all these people are white. But they're not white. And it's to the point where it doesn't matter if I go back to the old stuff. You know how there was a token black they'd always put in, and now it's all black today? Well, I think it's always been that there's been a couple of token white people in shows. And that's even questionable. So I think for a very long time, they've been promoting hybrids since black and white television. Since before we were born, ladies and gentlemen, they've been promoting hybrids. See, I've done a lot of studies into these things, and that's what led me to find all the things I've found. See, this is important to know who's who, but it's really, I'm telling you, the waters are extremely cloudy these days. Aren't they? Sometimes you say to yourself, I'd love to find a woman. I wanted to find a woman, but it seems like it's almost impossible. If there's not one thing wrong, it's another thing. And who can really tell who's our people anymore, practically? These are dangerous times. And the world is just chock full of hybrids. In other words, you're living in a world of abominations in every way. Satanism, the religions are all dual priesthoods and satanic priesthoods, and the god of these religions is Lucifer. The government's all lopped up with Luciferianism and Jews and all kinds of crazy crap. Hybrids. And so I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just trying to tell you that it's just chock full. I would have never guessed this. I would have never saw this, seen this coming. I never saw it coming this way. I had no idea about, you know, race mixing. What's funny is our people think if you're Irish and you mix with a German that you are a mutt, but you're not. Somebody was trying to tell me, tell people, going around telling people that I said that half of the Irish are not white. I can only come to this conclusion. What I had said was that some of the Irish are the tribe of Judah and some are Celtic. Now, all I can come up with in conclusion with this is that the one who's accusing me of this somehow believes and is a British Israelist and believes that the tribe of Judah are the Jews. Thus saying that what I'm trying to say is that the Irish are half Jews and half whites. But that's not true. For some reason, this character does not believe that the tribe of Judah is Germany and the Boers and all that stuff. See, the reason why I was talking about some of Ireland being the tribe of Judah and some being Celtic was because the UK, the English, have always gone after the Germans, the tribe of Judah. They've attacked the tribe of Judah in America. They've attacked the tribe of Judah in Germany. They've attacked the tribe of Judah in South Africa. These Afrikaners are Jews and white English Freemasons going over there trying to replace the Boers and kill them off. Look what has gone on between the only tribe of Judah that they haven't attacked is Scotland for some reason. I think because Scotland is laden down with Freemasonry and a lot of Satanism as well, paganism. But Ireland, they went after Ireland as aggressively as they went after the Germans and the tribe of Judah. The Germans are... How can you tell the Germans are the tribe of Judah? I mean, you'd have to be a nut not to know that Judah was the greatest warrior of the tribes. And I had told this before on Saxon's Creed that it was a revelation to me that, of course, the Jews always try to take the highest seats like the Pharisees. So they claim they were the tribe of Judah, but they're not the tribe of Judah. They're not any of the tribes of Israel. And the proof of it is because Judah was the greatest warrior. And I said, are the Jews great warriors? No, they're not. They're not even in line with the Peshmerga or any of these other, the Iranians or any of them. They'd wipe them right off the map. But Germany took on the whole world and would have won. Do you understand? That's proof who the tribe of Judah is. I don't know what's going on. Some people are just so whacked out. You know, they ask me questions. They ridicule me. They send me hate mail. And I'll even answer some of their questions. And they don't even know how to address a question properly. And then when I give them the answer, they don't understand the answer. And it's obviously that it's obvious that they don't believe. They believe the tribe of Judah is the Jews. So when I said that some of the Irish are the tribe of Judah and some of the Irish are Celtic, they attributed that to that some of the tribe of Ireland are Jews. Well, let me give you a little clue. There are Irish Jews, but they're not the tribe of Judah. They're the tribe of serpent. The serpent. I mean, I don't know what's going on in your heads. I don't know. You know, these people think I'm CI. I want nothing to do with CI at all. Zero. I don't want any association with it. I want nothing to do with it. I told you it's lopped up with agents. I didn't say everybody in CI is an agent. I just said that it's extremely full of agents. I don't need that. Not looking for it, not interested in it, don't want to play with it. I leave it to its own devices and let it destroy itself, and it is destroying itself. See, I don't follow a religion, I follow the Father. I don't follow men, I follow the Father. So if a religion falls, or if a man falls, I don't fall with him. I just keep my eyes on the Father. And that's what you should be doing too. Okay, we've got about a half an hour. Why don't we look into the book of Isaiah? Since we haven't got to that in a couple of weeks, because there's been other, we're in chapter 26 here, and starting around verse 12 is where we left off. Yahweh, thou wilt ordain peace for us. See, he ordains peace for us. Did you notice how the world is in chaos, but yet you have peace because you have the Spirit within you, and the Father is with you? In other words, he ordains peace for us. For thou hast also has wrought all our works in us. That's speaking to the Father. For the Father also has wrought all our works in us. He has worked all these works. Yahweh our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. Oh, they didn't want to make mention that the Jews and Pharisees that got a hold of being scribes in these things, they took out the name 6,800 times and replaced it with Lord and God. Right in this particular thing, it says, O Lord our God, you know what I mean? But it's really, O Yahweh. See, because our God is not Baal. Maybe for the Judeo-Christians, I know their God is Baal and some Jewish Jesus. Who is Baal? That's who it is. But the real Jesus is Yeshua, and that's the Father in the flesh, the Word of Yahweh. Verse 14, they are dead, they shall not live, they are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Now I love that right there. You see, these people that have lorded it over us throughout this history and this period where they've changed all the history and everything, they think that they're going to go down in history like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer will go down in history, right? You know, and so they'll sell their souls to be remembered. They'll do evil to be remembered. They'll do anything to get their name in the book. This isn't the book of life. You see, our names are written in the book of life, and that will last forever, as long as your name doesn't get stricken out. But these names, what he's saying here is, they are all dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. These are the ones who lorded it over us.
Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. See, all this giving your soul to be remembered in history and all this stuff, it's all going to be perished. He made all their memory to perish. In other words, the remembrance of them will no longer be remembered. Like in the New Kingdom, we will not remember Jews. Verse 15, thou hast increased the nation, O Yahweh, thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Yahweh, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Chastening. Like a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Yahweh. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, Yahweh cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 27. In that day, Yahweh with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day, sing ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. I am Yahweh, I Yahweh do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. See, we are the vineyard of the Father. And he says, I Yahweh do keep it, the vineyard. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take control of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Get it? Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. I believe that that's when it's all over. That's what will happen. See, he didn't say, he that caused them that come of China to take root. He said, he shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud. Not talking about the land of Israel over there. But it may, because right now it's cursed. But Israel as us, we are the bride of the Father. We will blossom and bud and fill the face of the earth with fruit. Hath he smitten him as he smote those that smote him? Or is he slain according to the slaughter of them that are slain by him? In measure, when it shooteth forth, thou wilt debate with it. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. By this, therefore, shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin. When he maketh all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder, the groves and images shall not stand up, praise the Father. Very interesting, he says about this, that the wind is what's used. He stayeth his rough wind in the day of the east wind. As the east is trying to destroy the west, the Father will stayeth his rough wind. Verse 10, yet the defenced city shall be desolate, and the habitation forsaken, and left like a wilderness. There shall the calf feed, and there shall he lie down and consume the branches thereof. When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire, for it is a people of no understanding. Therefore hath he made them, will not, therefore he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. And it shall come to pass in that day that Yahweh shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and ye shall be gathered one by one, O ye children of Israel. See, they will be broken off, these Jews, they will be gone. He will show them no favor. Okay, verse 13. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria and the outcasts of the land of Egypt, and shall worship Yahweh in the holy mount at Jerusalem. So it's saying that he's going to get rid of these Jews, as far as I can see here. I mean, I don't have great understanding of this book at this point, but I do have some understanding of it. And you can always get deeper and deeper understanding. The next time I might read this, it might be a whole different understanding of what it's saying. But that the defense city shall be desolate, the habitation forsaken, left like a wilderness. Very interesting. Let's whip to the next. Chapter 28. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower. That's the UK. Which are of the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, Yahweh hath a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the crown, get it? Ephraim and the crown? The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. And the glorious beauty, which is of the head of the fat valley, shall be a fading flower. And as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he looketh upon it, seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall Yahweh of hosts be for a crown of glory, for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people. The residue. What's left over? What is the residue of his people? You know what it is, but let's look it up anyway. Residue, listen to this. A small amount of something that remains after the main part has gone or been taken or used. The fine residue left after the sorting of tea. Synonyms: remainder, remaining part, part left over, rest, remnant, remnants, more. The balance, the surplus, the extra, the excess, the remains, the leftovers, the leavings, the dregs, lees, sediment, ground, settings, a substance that remains after a process such as a combustion or evaporation. The ash was the residue from a coal fire power stations. So what does he say about the remnant? In that day, Yahweh of hosts, be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength unto them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet had erred through strong drink, and they are swallowed up of wine, and they are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision, they stumble in judgment. For all the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. You know, I want to mention something that there's people out there that persecute everybody that's trying to tell the truth. But the Father has to have some real men out there. He does. You know what I mean? There has to be in this world a remnant of good people. You find out by trying these spirits to see if they come from the Father, and you find out, well, they weren't what they said they were. Christians in name only. It's just a strange phenomenon. But don't be dismayed. There have to be some good women and some good men out there. There just have to be. And if you keep trying to destroy anybody that tries to do good for the Father, there'll be nobody left. The thing is once you find out that somebody is just playing a game, then I can understand you going against that vehemently. But some people are treating it as there isn't one good man in the whole world. I don't mean good in the sense of good as Yahweh is good, but I mean decent. How's that for a word? There have to be people out there. I'm telling you, I've had friends of recent times, and I found out they weren't my friends. But I do have some other friends that I believe are my friends. And it's because I know that there has to be good people out there. And I know there are. There are others that are just full of good intentions and they just talk that they're good and they're going to do this and they're going to, but it never pans out. I had such hope for my friends. And I've gained friends and lost friends. This whole thing is very interesting to watch the Father working in all of it, and I can see him still working. When I was looking into it all, he was watching as well. And now that my work is done in that area, I turn it completely over to him. It was always in his care anyway, but he wanted me to know. He didn't want me to be caught into something and associated with something that wasn't real. It was full of practicing liars. And that's just what they are, is practicing liars. I'm as surprised as can be. But you see, that's what it's like. Oh, excuse me, I keep hitting the microphone. That's what it's like when you're searching for the truth. You just don't know what you're going to find. But it's better to know the truth than to be we'll use the Freemasonic term hoodwinked. You see, I'd rather know. Remember, I've got to make you understand something. Sometimes people do things for you that appear to be wonderful things, and of course you even know they're wonderful, but it is that the reason they're doing that is not what you think. It's not because of being a Christian. It's because they wanted you to be beholden to them for the rest of your life. One of the things about me is people give me gifts and they think they can buy me, perhaps. They find out, no, you can't. And so you have to realize that sometimes people do things so that you will be beholden to them. It's a very Jewish thing. And when you're finding out if somebody's a Jew or not, you see these things and these just add up more to the thing. It's just a strange thing that, you know, I just never would have dreamt this up. I couldn't have dreamt it up. And I didn't want to dream it up. It just, when you begin to look at things and you begin to test the spirits to see if they come from the Father, you begin to realize these things. So, verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips another tongue will he speak to his people. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of Yahweh was unto them a precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of Yahweh, ye scornful men that rule his people, which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have not the Jerusalem of today, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death. Ah, see that? And with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. See, I didn't plan this, ladies and gentlemen, you understand? Practicing, if you're a practicing liar, you better read Revelation 21. See, what he's saying here in verse 15, because ye have said we may have made a covenant with death and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. You know who the cornerstone is. It's Yeshua. It's the word, his word. His word is a tried stone. You know that. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and the righteous to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. Praise the Father. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. Very interesting. For Yahweh shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, he shall be wroth, angry, as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass this act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from Yahweh of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open, doth meaning does, right? Does the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open the great clods in his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches, and scatter the cumin, and cast in the principal wheat, and the appointed barley, and the rye in their place? For Yahweh doth instruct him to discretion, and doth teach him. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cumin. The fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Bread corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from Yahweh of hosts, which is wonderful counsel and excellent in working. And so next time we will start on Isaiah chapter 29. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved. Listening to the Eurofolk Radio Network here at eurofolkradio.com.